Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hello, listeners. If you're hearing this, I'm going to assume you're at least interested in money and understanding the economy and finances. And some of us want our kids to have that knowledge, too. Check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. You can learn more at greenlight.com/million and tune in to Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcast.
All right, what are we waiting for? Hello, who's in charge? Good, good. You should totally just stay there until you run out of money. Until you run out of money. Hey, everybody, I'm Kyle Rizdo. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making today make sense is what we do in this podcast. Really glad you decided to listen today.
Yeah, I'm Marielle Segarra, and today is Hollowed Out Shell Thursday. So we are going to share some news stories and some Make Me Smiles, and then we'll be on our way. How are you, Kai?
You know, I, let's be honest. I'm not as good as you for reasons that we'll get into in a moment, because I'm not sitting on a beach. But look, today was I feel stupid saying this, but it was really hard because... look, there's a land war happening in Europe for the first time in 80-something years, and it's just, it's a big, big deal. It's a big deal globally. It's a big deal in news, which is, you know, our chosen occupation. And then it's one of those stories, and I don't expect anybody to, you know, feel bad for me, but on days like this, it's always tricky hosting Marketplace because it's the global story. Right. It is the global story and people are dying and there's a war going on. And yet you have to figure out what our slice of it is. And there's you know, this is a global economic story. Right. Because the global economy is going to slow down. Interest rates globally are going to go up. We're going to have stagflation. Things are going to get more expensive. I mean, all of that stuff. Right. That's going to happen. But you can't really just like come right out and say that because people are dying. And so it's a little trying for me on days like this. And I don't mean to make it all about me, but. But that's kind of where my headspace is at. You know, for the first time in a long time, I spent most of last night sitting there watching cable news saying, holy crap, this is actually happening, as did, I'm sure, a lot of people. But then reality check, and I guess we're getting into the conversation of the news part of this podcast, I suppose. But so I went to physical therapy this morning
because I had knee surgery, right?
My knee. And it's doing very well, and I'm progressing very nicely. Thank you very much. But as I lay down on the table and she started, you know, warming me up and stuff, she said, "So, what's going on today?" And I was like, "Oh my God, there's a war in Europe going on today." That's all I can think about. But clearly, I'm in this stupid news bubble where all I can do is consume news, and everybody else, totally legitimately, is going about their daily lives because, as far as the American people are concerned. They'll be really concerned in about 3 weeks when, you know, gas is, you know, nationally $4 a gallon. But right now, it's just this thing that's happening on the far side of the world. And if you know Americans, you know that things that are happening on the other side of the world don't often break through. And I get that. I totally get that.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in this country. Life is busy. People are trying to get by. But holy cow. Anyway, so that was my day. I don't know. What about yours?
Whew. Well, first of all, I don't know if you can hear this, but like basically in the middle of when you were talking, someone loudly started playing music outside. I think it's mostly, it was not going to come in, but it's like, you know, Spanish language music. Pretty catchy, but hoping it doesn't end up in the recording.
Oh, no. First of all, we can't hear a thing, but But the explanation is you have been vacationing in Puerto Rico. Now you're working in Puerto Rico, and look, things happen.
I'm in Cabo Rojo, which is a beautiful part of Puerto Rico. It's in the southwest. And I was thinking about this today, too, because it is beautiful here. And I'm like, personally, I was like, how am I going to answer this question? Because personally, I'm doing okay today. You know, like I went to the beach, I sat with some fish, like I've been hanging out with family. I've been like, doing some things that are really meaningful and fulfilling. And at the same time, I'm paying really close attention to what's happening in the news. And it's, you can't just tune it out. Like this kind of suffering is really hard to stomach. And I think we all have gone through some level during this pandemic when our place wasn't having a wave, but somewhere else in the world was having a wave, where you're almost like, you almost have to, it's that balance between trying to stay informed and then trying to protect your mental health, and take the bits of joy that you can find. So yeah, I don't know. It'll sound insensitive maybe to say I had an okay day, but then also I didn't because this was on my mind and all day.
No, look, I totally think it does not sound insensitive. I think it's absolutely real. And we talked about that. Molly and I did a lot in the beginning of the pandemic when this podcast first went daily. We talked a lot about the mental stress, right? And how you had to find time to unwind. And I think we can all now appreciate the importance of carving out, you know, whether it's time to, you know, go down to the beach and let the sand slip through your toes or whatever, you know, I think that's hugely important. And we all recognize it now way more than we did in the before times, right? In the before times, Americans especially were all about keeping their head down and doing their jobs. And now we've all come to realize, you know what, life's too damn short. And I think that's real, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you want to talk about Russia and Ukraine?
Let's talk about Russia. So here's what I want to say about Russia. This is what I want to talk about in the news, and then I'll get off my little hobby horse. Russia is not a huge trading partner of the United States, something like $30 billion. I mean, something like minuscule. Russia is not even in the top 10 biggest global economies. Russia is not a key player in most of the global economy, except for energy and oil and gas. But they have thermonuclear weapons. And they have a guy who is not necessarily stable in charge of them. And that, I think, is why this whole thing is so, for me, deeply, deeply consuming. Because we don't know, you know. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got. I got two great pieces of advice from my best friend ever. His name is Jonathan. One was, you can never give advice with the expectation that it's going to be taken. So there's that, and that's totally true. But the second piece of advice he gave me was, look, you can't ever assume the rational actor. And as we've seen now with Vladimir Putin, he's doing some things that are kind of irrational because this war that he started is going to hurt his people desperately, right? The Russian stock market is down. The ruble's down. The huge companies that generate most of that national income are going to get sanctioned. But he's doing it anyway for, I'm sure, what seemed to him rational reasons, but not to anybody else. And I just think we all need to keep that in mind, that this is – it's slow now over there as we tape this at 3:40 on a – sunny Thursday afternoon in Los Angeles. It's the middle of the night over in Kiev, and I'm sure there's some stuff going on, but, you know, it's not done yet. We're not done. And I think the ramifications of the end of 75 years of collective security and the benefits of it, the deterrent effects of it, we're going to be feeling that for a while. Sorry. So I guess I'm more hollowed out than I thought. Sorry. Never mind.
That's fair. I mean, thinking about that question of the rational actor and, you know, mutually assured destruction, that would be a deterrent. Right. It almost feels like, not to get too deep into game theory, but it feels like a game of chicken, right? It's like, and it reminds me of this article I read today in Bloomberg about it was actually an opinion piece about how the U.S. could potentially, and other countries could potentially, stop Russia in its tracks if it took really, really severe steps and really, really severe mm-hmm. sanctions that the Russian government wasn't expecting. And the writer was talking about it like a shock and awe, economic approach. And they talked specifically about Saudi Arabia and Russia a couple years ago, where basically they set oil prices cooperatively, but Saudi Arabia and Russia disagreed what they should do in response to the pandemic. So the Saudis, they just drove down prices. They shot themselves in the foot. They drove down prices completely to mess with Russia until Russia came back to the negotiating table. Yep. And it was like, who can hold out for long enough on the economic pain? So if the U.S. were to do something, you know, really extreme in terms of economic sanctions and or export controls and cut off imports from Russia down to zero, for instance, that would hurt us a lot, and it would hurt other countries if they did that. But it could be something that Russia just isn't expecting and hasn't priced in.
Yeah. And the question is, and Biden said this the other day, right? Sanctions on Russia are going to be felt here at home, rising gas prices for one. And the question is, are the American people willing to deal with that? And I don't know the answer yet. Couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Could not tell you. So there
I think that there was one other thing that I was like surprised by, because
yes,
we have talked about on Marketplace, we've talked about some of the direct impacts, like Russia's a big exporter of natural gas and wheat, for instance, but impacts on the global financial system potentially. But there are even things like, I saw another piece in Bloomberg today about the price of coffee and cocoa dropping today because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It's expected that there will be global economic impacts that'll make people less likely to go out, because if there's a recession, you're less likely to like go to a restaurant where most coffee is sold, or travel. And apparently a lot of candy, or most candy, is sold at the airport. So those are things that, you know, those aren't crops that, that's what Bloomberg said. I have not fact checked that bit, but I was like, I could see that. That and like at the cash register at supermarkets, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it's like, even those are not crops that come from Russia. They're not something you would expect, but that's a price drop, you know, in response to this other thing happening, you know, on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
It's just totally wild. The knock-on effects are endless.
Yep, for sure. For sure. Yeah. And well, look, that's the I'll get off my my like geopolitical thing here, right? But that's the thing about war. You can't predict what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Putin doesn't know what's going to happen. Zelensky doesn't know what happened. Biden doesn't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen. So that's why they play the game, I suppose, if I could mix my sporting metaphors. Anyway, awful. Jake, hit it, would you? Let's get something happier in here. Sorry, taking a big slurp of coffee. All right. I'm just going to come out right up top and say I have no make me smiles today. I just didn't have it in me, as one might have gathered from my stream of consciousness blathering earlier in the podcast.
It's all on me. Okay. Well, I have some visual aids here. So you know how you're on Instagram, there's a section where it suggests stuff to you. And it's based on an algorithm, based on whatever you click on. So I guess at some point I liked or clicked on some hairless cats. And Instagram started. Did you open it then?
They're just so... No, I know. And I'm glad I didn't.
Wait,
because
you have to open it. Just
hairless
please,
cats
freak
me out.
It's
do I have to
just,
do one? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, just open one of them. There's like seven here. But...
Oh, God. No. Sorry. We're going to put them on the show page, by the way. Mark Kay or Marissa is going to put them on the show page.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I started getting really into them, and because they really fill me with joy. Like, there's one, they're always sitting with their legs apart and their big bellies out. They're so creepy. I love them so much. And I started sending them to my friends and family. And my mom at one point literally cursed me out on DM.
Yes.
And she was like, if you send me one more effing alien looking hairless cat, I'm going to disown you. So
I was just going to say, she's going to write you out of the will. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, these are amazing. Sometimes they look like little wrinkled brains with ears.
They're horrible. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Do not click. Do not click. You cannot unsee that. Do not click. All right. We're going. Hairless Cats is our ticket out of here. We are. Yeah, kind of did, actually. Oh, my God. All right. We're done. Hairless Cats and all. Kimberly's back tomorrow. Economics on Tap. Live streaming on YouTube as well. Just the second one, low these many months. 3:30 out here on the West Coast, 6:30 on the East Coast. YouTube channel is Marketplace APM. Check it out. Join us. We read comments a lot. Kimberly and I do.
Yeah, keep sending those to us, your comments and your questions in email or voice memo form to makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can leave us a message at 508-UB-SMART.
Perfect. Perfecto. Yeah, Hairless Cats, do not click. Do not click. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Mark A. Green helps out too. Jake Cherry was in charge today down in the studios in DTLA.
Bridget Bodner is the senior producer, and the director of On Demand is Donna Tam. Kai, how would you feel about me just, like, sending you Hairless Cats every day now?
Do not do that. I don't understand what that is. They're so gross.
Are you going to block
me
on
so
Instagram?
Gross. That's so gross. Well, I will if you send me the pictures.
Fair enough.
Jesus.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.